Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, last week's basically the discussion was the idea of not being what Rav Volbe calls a stam adam, just a person who's a whatever type of Jew, but that our lives should be led not with whatevers, but with purpose and with meaning and with thought, and every action and behavior that we take should be because that is what it is, that's what we're supposed to be doing, so that when we are judged, both on Rosh Hashanah and at the end of 120, our judgment is on a person who has developed into a person who has thoughts and feelings and direction and purpose and meaning, and not just somebody who rolls with the tide without ever taking stock and saying, I should be doing this or I shouldn't be doing it. That was last week's discussion, and the journaling was certainly a part of that, to be able to make ourselves aware of the decisions that we make throughout the course of the day. So today we're going to go to phase two. If you recall, we opened last week by saying that Rosh Hashanah has a lot of elements to it. Phase one was the creation of mankind. Man was created on Rosh Hashanah, and therefore that allows for man to, so to speak, recreate himself. That's where that whole exercise that we did last week was. We're creating ourselves. We are preparing in these weeks to be able to sit on Rosh Hashanah and feel like we are recreating ourselves. So that required awareness. That's what we were working on last week, the awareness to recreate yourself. The second thing that happens on Rosh Hashanah is the purpose of the recreated man is to declare Hashem king, what we call Malchus. So that Rosh Hashanah has those two aspects, man creating himself, man using that state that he has to declare Hashem as king. And then the third aspect was tshuva, repent. We're going to get to that. That'll be later. But so this week, what I want to focus on that concept of what are we doing on Rosh Hashanah? This idea of Malchus, of declaring Hashem to be king, and how do we prepare for that? What should we do over the night? We have less than 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah. So what does it mean to prepare ourselves? Now, this idea of Malchus comes from the Gemara. The Gemara says, Imru lefanai Malchus. We should say the verses of kingship, so to speak. Verses that establish the kingdom of Hashem in order that we should make him a king over us. And if you notice, if you go through the Rosh Hashanah Maksud, that's the central role during Musaf. The idea of the 10 verses Aman Taf Chafei. The idea of Malchus, of God being a king. And what I want to focus on today is really understanding what it is that we're saying with that. And then a couple practical pieces of advice to get ourselves ready. So Rav Volbe points out a very interesting thing. When we talk about making Hashem a king over us, we're really at a great disadvantage. And that is the fact that we live in a world that does not have kings. There was once a time where there were kings. There was once a time where the concept of a king was an everyday concept, and that it was part of the world. It was part of the consciousness. No one had to stop and think, what would it be like to stand before a king? We wonder about that. We can read stories about that. We can hear tales. But the experience is beyond us. We don't have a king. We live in a country where the ruler is elected, and therefore he's more concerned about what we think than what we are about what he thinks. Because he always has to, that's a cycle. The press has full authority to make fun of him in political cartoons and satire, just openly blast. That's the world we live in. And in England, where you have like some semblance of a monarchy, but it's a show, and everybody knows it's a show. It's a tabloid experience. Rav Volbe writes, isn't it interesting? The concept of kingdom, kingship, was there for us to relate to the authority, to the fear, the awesome experience of standing in front of the king. We don't have it. The divine scheme has removed it from us. So Rav Volbe writes, it's because we're so far removed. It's a divine statement of look how far you are. You don't even have that. I take that away from you as well. We don't even have the concept of a king to look at and to say, this is what it would be like. So that when we sit down and say in Rosh Hashanah, you, God, are king, it's really hard for us to visualize that. We don't have it. There is one thing that we do have. she mentions. He's writing this is already years ago, but in World War II there was a concept that became very common in occupied Europe, and that was that a government was exiled, so to speak, from its own homeland, and would continue to rule from exile as best they can or could. But that, you know, the German occupiers would come in, and then the government would flee and would, so to speak, set up shop from elsewhere. And we do it, that concept you could sort of relate to of a government in exile yearning, hoping to return, trying to maintain itself. And that is somewhat analogous to what we have on Rosh Hashanah. We have a concept of a melech, a king, who's been exiled from the world, so to speak. The Shekhinah, the divine presence itself, since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, has been sent into exile. And that is part of what we are mourning throughout. We're always mourning the destruction of Yerushalayim. And when we talk about this day, what we're preparing ourselves for the next 2 weeks is to crown HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem as King, to yearn, to wait, to want to see a time when that kingdom will return. There are occupiers. It's like we live in occupied territory, occupied Europe. Who occupies it? If you pay attention to the Machzor, you'll see Memsheles Zadon. There is this reign of evil. God's presence is not there. And there are other forces, anti-Jewish, anti-God, that have a stake in controlling world events. And God's presence is in exile. He's controlling from afar, but His presence is not revealed. And we live in that exile. We live far from that. And the whole Machzor, if you'll stop and pay attention and read what it is that we're saying, Rosh Hashanah is not about our sins. It's very little about being inscribed for a good year. There are certainly references to that, but the bulk of the Machzor is filled with tefillos, a yearning for God's presence to return, for the King to return, for the world to recognize that the world we live in is off. It's just wrong. It's not the way that it's supposed to be. We recognize that if we'll stop and think about it. Most of our daily life is not filled with that recognition. We live our lives as if things are fine and things are normal. And Rosh Hashanah is a two-day period in which what we're really doing is yearning and praying for Lahavir Memsheles Zadon Min Haaretz, to remove the wickedness from the world. Yimloch Hashem Liolam. You should reign forever in Yerushalayim. And we say verse after verse after verse, and that's really the focus of the Machzor, is us getting into the mindset of, I stand here yearning for you to return, yearning for you to establish your kingdom, yearning for you to establish the Malchus in the world that we live in. So what I want to share with you are two exercises, so to speak, that we could put into practice starting tonight, and then for the next 2 weeks, just to get into the mindset. Yeah.
Was there ever a time when God's presence was included, such that Rosh Hashanah was never the yearning for His presence in the world, because...
Yeah, I would say during the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, before the destruction, was much more palpable, and then it would have been much more as a day of establishing and declaring it to be king. It wasn't yearning because it was there, but it was the day of, proclaiming it, recognizing it. It was more as if you had like a king who had a day or 2 days a year, whatever you would call it, I don't know, ceremony or something, in which it was the proclamation day, which everybody would officially gather and, you know, establish and declare him to be king, and more than just living their daily lives, they would take time out and establish it. And now we're trying to do that, but we're doing that from ourselves in exile, with His presence in exile, and so the tefillah reflects that, in that as much as it's declaring it, it's a yearning for it. And the tefillah has like, remove the evil. All of Aleinu, which is really from the Rosh Hashanah Machzor, and was so central, we added it to our daily service 3 times a day, Shacharis, Mincha, and Maariv. But it's all about Al Kei Nikav Lecha. Therefore, we yearn and hope in you. La'aver Mishelas Adaminar, La'sakein Olam V'Malchusha Dai, to fix the world with your King, to Yimloch Hashem Li'Olam. It is an entire tefillah that's dedicated to we. the world is off right now. It's just not the way that it's supposed to be. My own personal life, I live in a way that doesn't recognize your presence as king. And I'm yearning and praying and hoping to see that over the course of the entire, over the whole world. It's an easy thing for us to say, but it takes preparation to actually be able to get to Rosh Hashanah and to say those words and to actually yearn for it. So I want to share. So now we'll go through, I want two things that we for sure have many opportunities to do, but to put them in a different light that will get us into that mindset and actually prepare us for that. Number one is Shema. We say Shema every day. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We probably even know what the words mean, even though we rarely think about them when we say them. What do these words mean? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Shema Yisrael, simple. Listen here, Israel. Hashem Elokeinu, God is our God. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem, God is one. I just want to share Rashi. Rashi, Chumash and Rashi. How does Rashi understand this phrase? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Listen, O Israel, Hashem is our God, Hashem is one. Says Rashi. This is Rashi and Chumash. He's bothered by the double language of Hashem, because it's a Shema Yisrael, it's Hashem Elokeinu. Say Hashem, God is one. It just should say Hashem Elokeinu Echad, a God who Hashem, who is our God, is one. But we say God or Hashem, who is our God, is God who is one. So Rashi says, what does this phrase mean? Rashi says, Hashem Shehu Elokeinu Ata. Hashem is our God now. Meaning Elokeinu, He's our God now, out of the whole world, out of the billions and billions of people who live in this world. How many of them recognize the God of the world, the creator of everything that exists, as the actual creator? Not many. So we say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Shehu Elokeinu, the God who is right now, currently, only our God. V'lo Elokei Ha'umos, He is not the God of the world. Because they don't recognize Him. They either have other gods, or no God, but they don't recognize the actual Creator. Now, we live in a world in which we take that for granted, that we are a minority people, and that we believe, and that everyone else out there doesn't. And it's just the way that we live our lives. Do you know what that's like for the Ribono Shel Olam, for Hashem Himself, who created this whole world, and out of the 280, is it billion? How many of you know that 280 million Americans?
6 billion.
7 billion people live in this world. How many of them recognize Him as a creator? What percentage of that recognizes Him?
1.1%.
Tiny.
Even less. Yeah.
Much less.
Because those are only Jews.
Much less. Yeah. And everyone out there is walking around, so to speak, in a daze. Like, he's like, hello. Like nothing. And Jews pray. This is Rashi's understanding of our... This is our banner. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. What does our banner mean, says Rashi? Hashem Shehu Elokeinu. Right now, Hashem is Elokeinu. Our God. And only our God. And billions of people out there are oblivious to the reality that there is a Creator in the world. They have no idea, in the true sense, that there is a Creator who wants anything from them and has a direct relationship with the world. And we daven Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, who says Rashi, who osid lihios, He is in the future, will be Hashem Echad, will be the one and only God. As the pasuk says, as ehefoch el amim safa v'ruah, I will switch all of the nations into a single language, clear likro kulam b'shem Hashem, that they will all call out in the name of Hashem. I'm always amazed that this Rashi, I find, is not as oft quoted as I would think it should be. That the banner of the Jewish people of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, is really a tefillah that says, Shema Yisrael, God who is our God now, should be and will be one day Hashem Echad. Recognized singular God of the whole. That doesn't mean they all convert and become Jews. It just means they recognize the reality of the world, of existence, that there is a creator. We say Shema every day, three times a day. We have 2 weeks. Think of what this means for a Jew, for us, to prepare ourselves and to be able to say, when we say Shema, that we're yearning to see Hashem as the recognized creator by the whole world. The first step in that is working on my... I need to see that. Right? I need to... It's like hard for me to be angry at anyone out there. I'm in the club. I have the training. I have the books. I have the tradition. And it's hard for me to live my life recognizing that. But every time I say the phrase Shema Yisrael, I am saying Hashem Elokeinu, who is right now my God and our God as a Jewish people, Hashem Echad, I yearn to see you recognized as the single God of the whole world. 2 weeks we have to say this phrase and to pay attention, to yearn for that as we're saying it. Say that as I'm saying Shema, I'm thinking I'm recognizing you as a creator, as my creator, and davening and praying and yearning that you be everyone's creator. That I recognize that the world is amiss, and I want to see you recognized by everyone as the single creator. That is, it's for the whole year. But to be able to prepare ourselves for 2 weeks now, to be able to get ready for Rosh Hashanah, that when that day comes, to say that, that's the Jew's task on Rosh Hashanah. Our judgment is not based on... I don't want to say that's wrong. Our judgment is very much based on how we fulfill our task in Rosh Hashanah, which is really seeing God's name being out there. It's the focus of the day. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. What's the 10th verse? Each one of these sections of Musaf, the Malchios, kingdom, and shofar, and remembrance is all of 10 verses. What's the 10th verse in the section of kingdom? Shema Yisrael. Now, the simple reading, this is what's asked in the Gemara. Where is their kingdom in that? There's no kingship. It just says, Hashem, listen to Israel, Hashem is a God, Hashem is one. What does it do with being a king? Gemara says, no, that is the acceptance of the yoke of heaven. That is the greatest verse of kingship that we have. When a Jew understands what he's saying, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, now I want you to be the God of everyone. For a Jew to recognize that, that is the task of Rosh Hashanah. Let's pay attention. We have Marv in 15 minutes to be able to, as we say Shema, let's go to sleep at night, wake up in the morning with Shema, that it's a yearning way beyond just ourselves. It starts with ourselves, but it's beyond ourselves. That's task number one for the next 2 weeks is Shema. Task number two is also a tefillah-oriented task. And that is the simple prayer of Yehei Shmei Rabbah. We answer in Kaddish. Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mevorach. May your great name be blessed. Le'olam ulamei olmayam forever and ever. May your great name be blessed forever and ever. Now, the Gemara has what to say about this particular phrase and its significance. Let me start with the Gemara in Brachos. I quote this Gemara every year. Tisha B'Av, Rosh Hashanah time, it's just, if you've heard it from me, fine, I don't mind. It's the kind of thing that should be quoted like every other week. The Gemara in Brachos discusses the Tana of Rabbi Yossi. Yossi was one of the great sages of Yerushalayim, and the Gemara says he was once walking around the ruins of Yerushalayim, and he ended up in one of the Chorvos Yerushalayim, one of the ruins, the destroyed buildings of Yerushalayim to daven. And while he's praying there in the ruins of Yerushalayim, he said, the Gemara says, Elio and Novi Elijah, the prophet, comes and watches over him by the doorway until he finishes his prayer. And he says, what did you hear? Elio and Novi asks Rabbi Yossi, what did you hear while you were standing there praying? And Rabbi Yossi answers, I heard a voice wailing like a dove. Kol Shiminahemes Kiyona, like a dove wailing. And what was the voice saying? Oy Livonim, woe to my children, Shiva Avanoseyim Echarafti es Beisi, that because of their sins I've had to destroy my home, Visarafti es Hecholi, and I burnt my temple, Vihiglisim Leven Haumos, and I had to exile them amongst the nations of the world. Woe to my children that I had to do this. Elio Anavi responds to Rabbi Yossi and says, you think that this is the only time that you happen to be here, that the voice wails like a dove? It's not true. Every single day, three times a day, the voice comes out like a dove and wails, woe to my children, that because of their sins I had to exile them amongst the nations and destroy my own house. Maral comments, what does it mean to be wailing like a dove? Why a dove? So because the Gemara says that a dove only has one mate. When a dove mates with another dove, and one of the two is either captured or dies or disappears, the remaining dove will never mate with another bird. It has one and only one. So the Gemara says, so God, so to speak, wails like a dove because he has one mate. That's us, the Jewish people. And when we're exiled, there's no replacements. It's just us. And so if he wails like a dove, where are my children? And how often does he wail? 3 times a day. What does it mean to wail 3 times a day? Which would probably refer to morning, Shachar, says Maral, afternoon, yeah, and night. Shacharis mincha ma'ariv. And what does it mean that it's morning, afternoon, and night? It means during every part of the day. That's how the sages use what we would call incessantly. It's constant. It's always there. Woe to my children. Where are they? When I've said this, like to use the example that every news website or news station is biased. Even though they think they're giving you the news unbiased, even if it's true, they're still biased. Because they're biased in which news items they select to tell you. There are billions and billions of stories that take place every day in the world. And every news agency picks what they feel is important to share. What ESPN shares is different than what CNN shares, which is different than what the Wall Street Journal shares, because they each are deciding, based on what their goal is, which news items are worthy. And all three of those news agencies' front page are always different than the Jerusalem Post, because what's important in Yerushalayim is not what's important to the Wall Street Journal. Certainly not to ESPN, and not even to CNN. And I can guarantee that all four of those are different than the Egyptian press or the Iranian free press.
Oh, all right.
Right? Because it's different. They don't value the same stories. Wouldn't it be amazing if we had an insight? Well, what does God's website say? If we had an insight into God's website, and we could log on, and we would get the actual 10 most important stories. It's like, I don't know what's important. The fact that the market's going up or down, maybe it is, maybe it's, I don't know. If I had God's perspective, and he could tell me, these 10 stories are actually significant in the world, this is what you need to know, that would be awesome. Says the Gemara, if you logged on to God's website, there'd be one story that would scream across the headlines, and it's been the same story every single day for 3,000 years, 2,000 years. Since the destruction of the temple, the same headline has been on the front page. Woe to my children that because of their sins I exiled them. Where are they? For 2,000 years, that's the top story. That's all you need to know. You log on, what's going on in the news today? Oh, my children are still in exile. Everything else is secondary. Everything else is about the process of getting them home. But all you need to know, where are my children? Every single day, all day long, God moans like a dove, where are my children? Continues the Gemara. Eliyo Anavi, Elijah the prophet says, I want you to know, Bishah she Yisrael nechnasim levotei knesios, when the Jewish people enter into a shul, or to a beis medrash, and they say, Yehei Shemei Rabo Mivorach, and they answer, may your great name be blessed forever, to Kaddish. Kaddish Baruch Hu Minanei Arosho. He shakes his head, nods his head, Va'omer Ashrei HaMelech Shemekalsin Oso Beveso. Praiseworthy is the king whose children come and praise him such that they say, Yehi Shmei Rabba. What's going to be with the father who had to exile his children? So what's the one source of nechama, the one source of comfort that Hashem has in 2,000 years of exile? When his children come to shul and answer, Yehi Shmei Rabba. What's so special about this prayer? Yehi Shmei Rabba. Maral says it's unique because there's a yud in the beginning. And the yud, it makes it a future prayer. May it be that your great name be recognized forever. Meaning to say, it's not now. May your great name be Mivorach. Mivorach means blessed, recognized as the source of all blessings. We pray that your great name should be recognized as the source of all things. And in essence, what we're doing is saying, I recognize that it is not that way now, but I want it to be that way. When a Jew responds with that prayer, the King of Kings, who every day wails like a dove and says, "Where are my children?" sees that his children recognize that he's in exile and that they are in exile. Because otherwise we walk around and you'd think that everything is fine. There is no problem. Life is good. I'm worried about my job. I'm worried about my house. If my kitchen tiles came out correct. All sorts of things. Oblivious to the fact that if you were only to log on to God's website, you would see that everything is wrong. You would see that he's wailing like a dove for 2,000 years straight. Where are my children? And we walk around as if we're unaware of that. But when we walk into shul and we say, "Yehei, I yearn. I know it's not that way now, but I want it to be that way. I want it to be that everybody recognizes your name." Then the king says, "Ashrei ha." Look at Ashrei HaMelech. Praiseworthy is the king who is praised such by his children. In exile, far from home, but they recognize, I'm not where I should be. And that tefillah is a tefillah of malchus. It's a tefillah of yearning for the kingdom of Hashem to return. A recognition that it is not, but may it be that your great name be recognized forever. And when he hears that, then it's the consolation for the pain and suffering of 2,000 years of exile. And the Gemara says, anyone who answers Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba with the Kol Kocho, with all of his strength, either out loud and with all of his intention, Pochsin Lo Shari Gan Eden, the gates of heaven are opened up to him. It's a prayer that goes straight up. It's a prayer that recognizes things are not right, but I want them to be that way. That's Malchus. The Malchus isn't there right now. It's in exile. It's an exiled monarchy. But the people are yearning for it to come back. And in Rosh Hashanah, the theme of our job in Rosh Hashanah, it's true it's a day of judgment, and it's true that we're being judged. But what is our job in Rosh Hashanah? Our job is to become new people. Our job is to become aware of ourselves, to become directed, focused, goal-oriented, intentional, and to declare Hashem's kingdom, kingship, his malchus over the world. And the two tools that we have to get ready for that, Shema every day, to say, Shema Yisrael, I recognize Hashem Elokeinu, now you are our God, but you should be one day Hashem Echad. That's what I want. I want you to be one, I want to be recognized as one. And every time that I hear a Kaddish, to be able to not just mumble the words, to say, Yehei Shemei Rabba Mivarach, I want your great name to be blessed forever and ever. And that's the first step of that process of redemption, is recognizing that we need redemption. You can't be redeemed if you don't know that you need to be redeemed. I need to know that I'm in trouble. I need to know that the world is off. I need to know that the Jewish people are so far from where they should be. That God's own presence is so far from where it should be. And that he is mourning incessantly. He is wailing and wailing, where are my children and why are they not with me? And the recognition that we have towards that, through these two tefillos, is the first step in working towards that. We have 2 weeks to do that, so that when we get to Rosh Hashanah, we are there and ready to go.
It's just an interesting contrast that Rav Olbi brings these two up, because the first one, we're saying that it's the tenth pasuk in Malchus, it's mm-hmm. Mamish, right in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, which is an entirely silent Amidah. You could do it at your home, you could do it anywhere.
Right.
Whereas the other one, you bedavka have to show up with a minyan, you have to be part of Klal Yisrael.
Correct. And coming out loud.
Say that loud.
Those are the two things. I leave with those two elements of getting ourselves ready for Rosh Hashanah, because that really is what Rosh Hashanah is about, is being able to stand there and being able to say, I want you to be my king. And in order to want you to be my king, I have to recognize that you're not fully now, that your presence is in exile, your divine presence is in exile, and that we, the lucky and few to be in an Orthodox shul on Rosh Hashanah, are very limited in our own yearning of how much we recognize that, how much we want it. And we're inside, we're the only ones who are still holding out. And I want it more, I want it for the whole world, I want it for myself, I want it for the Jews. And these two tefillahs are how we recognize that, how we state, that's what I want to see, that's my yearning. A Jew who yearns for redemption is a different Jew, a fundamentally different Jew than the Jew who doesn't yearn for the redemption. Which is why the Gemara says the three questions they're going to ask us after 120 years. One of the big three, Tzipisa LeYeshua, did you yearn for the redemption? Because that defines a Jew. Were you honest in business? Did you establish times for learning Torah? Did you yearn for the redemption? That's what a Jew is. Jew yearns for redemption. A Jew knows I'm a subject of the king, and my king is in chains. My king's presence is not where it should be. The world doesn't recognize him. And the defining characteristic of a Jew is one who yearns for that, because we're defined by what we yearn for. If we yearn for the market to go up, we're defined by that. If we yearn for the Braves to win one, we're defined by that. What defines our yearnings? So the Gemara says, that's what you're going to be asked. How much did you yearn for it? Rosh Hashanah is the day we can accomplish in that like no other day. We have to be ready for it. 2 weeks to get ready, to say Shema with like we mean it, to say Yehi Shmei Rabbah like we mean it. So that come Rosh Hashanah, that which defines us as Jews, the yearning for the kingdom of Hashem to be revealed, is we're bursting with that desire to proclaim Hashem as King.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.